TED Audio Collective.
You're listening to TED Talks Daily. I'm Elise Hu. Okay, if you ever use word processors, you've probably used the find and replace feature. Let's say I want to swap out all the references to my name, Elise, and make it Eleanor instead. Find and replace does it with one command. Synthetic biologist Jason Chin is trying to use something like find and replace to redesign entire genomes. In his talk from TED 2022, he introduces us to designer cells, bespoke for individuals. That's after a quick break. Support for TED Talks Daily comes from Capital One Bank. With no fees or minimums, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than deciding to listen to another episode of your favorite podcast. And with no overdraft fees, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC. Support for TED Talks Daily comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is a lot of things. Odoo is award-winning management software. Odoo is total control of your entire company in one place. Odoo is a suite of fully integrated applications for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between. Basically, Odoo is what your business needs to succeed. So if you're ready to get more done in less time, visit odoo.com/TED Talks. That's odoo.com/TED Talks. Odoo, business management made simple. This show is brought to you by Schwab. With Schwab investing themes, it's easy to invest in ideas you believe in, like electric vehicles, renewable energy, water sustainability, and more. Choose from over 40 themes. Buy as is or customize the stocks in a theme to fit your goals. Learn more at schwab.com/thematic investing.
Hey there, I'm Rachel Fultman, and I host a podcast from Popular Science called The Weirdest Thing I Learned This Week. Every other week, I circle up with guests like Bill Nye, Josh Gondelman, Mary Roach, and many more to prove that the lofty and noble pursuit of science can also be profoundly weird. Ever heard about the time a bunch of doctors tried to turn George Washington into a zombie? Ever wondered what the people who climb Mount Everest do with all their poop? From flying Ford Pintos to the world's most illegal cheese, The Weirdest Thing I Learned This Week is the ultimate source for all things interesting, informative, and, most importantly, frickin' weird. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Come on over whenever you're ready to get weird.
So we built a virus-resistant organism. Why? It's not about disease, or not directly. It's about building the clean factories of the future. Let me explain by taking a big step back. All life runs on DNA. DNA codes for proteins, and proteins run life. DNA is composed of four bases, A, T, G, and C. And triplets of these bases, known as codons, encode each of the amino acid building blocks in proteins. The genetic code is a rule book that defines which codon encodes which amino acid. So, for example, the triplet codon TCG encodes the amino acid serine. And the order of triplet codons in DNA encodes the order of amino acid building blocks in a protein. There are 64 triplet codons in DNA and just 20 common amino acids. And this means that most amino acids are encoded by more than one triplet codon. So, for example, the amino acid serine is encoded by 6 different triplet codons. And triplet codons that encode the same amino acid are defined as synonymous codons. The DNA code used for life is near universal. All forms of life and viruses use essentially the same genetic code. And that's a trait that we can exploit. Here's what we did. We asked whether life needs multiple synonymous codons to encode a single amino acid. For example, does life need 6 different codons which all code for the amino acid serine? We took the 4 million character DNA of E. coli, its genome, and completely rewrote the code of this microbe in a very specific way by replacing targeted codons in its genome with synonymous codons that encode the same amino acid. So, for example, we replaced the TCG and TCA codons, which encode the amino acid serine, with AGT and AGC codons, which also encode the amino acid serine. By doing this across the whole 4 million base genome, we completely removed the targeted codons from the genetic code of E. coli. Overall, we compressed the genetic code from using 64 codons to using 61 codons. How did we do it? We first took the 4 million character code in a computer and used a find and replace operation to replace targeted codons with their synonyms. This created our new genome design, which contained more than 18,000 changes with respect to the original genome. We then asked whether we could build an organism that runs on our synthetic genome design. We built the synthetic genome starting from short pieces of DNA. These were made by chemistry in a test tube, something that would have been prohibitively expensive to do on this scale just a decade or two ago. We then assembled these short pieces of DNA into longer stretches of DNA, which we then used to step-by-step replace all 4 million bases of the E. coli genome. This created the largest synthetic genome ever made. And the resulting cell was alive. Think about that. We streamlined the genetic code, and yet the cell lived. We can create life with a compressed genetic code. Now, because our organism with a compressed genetic code doesn't use all 64 triplet codons to make proteins, we could remove some of the machinery from the cell that normally reads the near-universal genetic code. Specifically, we could remove components of the translational machinery, specific tRNAs, that normally read the codons that we've removed from the genome. Now, the key point here is that we've created a cell that no longer reads all the codons in the near-universal genetic code. Now, viruses infect cells. These might be the cells of our bodies or single-cell microbes like E. coli. They commonly have their own DNA, which uses the near-universal genetic code to encode the proteins necessary to make copies of the virus. But viruses don't have the machinery to read the genetic code in their DNA, and instead, they rely on the host cell, the machinery of the host cell, to read the genetic code in their DNA and make copies of the virus. It's these copies of the virus that go on to infect other cells, and this is how viruses spread. But viruses are unable to make copies of themselves in our new organism because our new organism doesn't have the machinery to read all the codons in the DNA of the virus. The code in the DNA used in the virus and the host cell's machinery to read that code are incompatible. Therefore, the virus doesn't spread in the new organism, and the new organism is resistant to viruses. In fact, we showed that our new organism was resistant to a wide range of viruses, suggesting that rewriting the genetic code provides a route to creating broadly virus-resistant life. By extending the approaches we've developed to other organisms, it may be possible to create virus-resistant crops and animals, with important applications in agriculture and beyond. But our advances also provide a foundation for turning cells into the clean factories of the future. How? So to explain, let me take another step back to how organisms read their genetic code to make proteins. Recall that the order of triplet codons in DNA encodes the order of amino acid building blocks in a protein. And it's the translational machinery of cells that reads the triplet codons and builds the corresponding sequence of amino acids. The translational machinery of natural cells, including ribosomes, amino acyl tRNA synthetase enzymes, and tRNAs, is a unique and special system for making proteins, in which the 20 common amino acids are strung together in a chain. Now, proteins are amazing, but they're just one example from a vast class of molecules known as polymers, which includes plastics, materials, and drugs. And a polymer, or a linear polymer, is really any molecule in which simpler chemical building blocks are strung together in a chain. We wanted to unlock the potential of the translational machinery for making plastics, materials, and drugs that simply can't be made in any other way, or that could be made more cleanly and efficiently using engineered versions of the cell's translational machinery. The building blocks for these polymers go well beyond the 20 common amino acids used to make proteins. It's been impossible to unlock the potential of the translational machinery for making plastics, materials, and drugs for two reasons. First, all 64 triplet codons in natural cells are used for making natural proteins, and there are simply no codons available to encode the synthesis of new polymers. Second, the natural translational machinery specifically uses natural amino acids and simply can't use the chemical building blocks required to make new polymers. However, our virus-resistant organism doesn't use all 64 triplet codons to make proteins and doesn't contain the machinery to read the codons that have been deleted from its genome. And this cell provides the starting point for genetically encoded polymer synthesis. To realize genetically encoded polymer synthesis in our virus-resistant organism, we added synthetic DNA containing the triplet codons we'd removed from the genome of the cell, and engineered translational machinery to read these codons and reassign them to new chemical building blocks for new polymers. This system can be programmed to make diverse synthetic polymers. By changing the order of the triplet codons in the synthetic DNA, we can change the order of the chemical building blocks that we program into the resulting polymer. And by changing the identity of the engineered translational machinery that we add to the cell, we can change the identity of the chemical building blocks from which we compose the polymer. Overall, we've created a cellular factory that we can reliably and predictably program to make synthetic polymers. Using our approach, we've already been able to program cells to make new molecules, including molecules from an important class of drugs known as dipeptide macrocycles. Molecules in this class include antibiotics, immunosuppressives, and anti-tumor compounds. We've also been able to program cells to make completely synthetic polymers containing the chemical linkages found in several classes of biodegradable plastics. As we build new polymer molecules using our cellular factories, we have the opportunity to consider from the beginning how we might also use engineered biological cells to break these polymers down into their constituent chemical building blocks that could be recycled and used for new encoded polymers. We envision a circular bioeconomy in which our new genetically encoded plastics and materials are manufactured and ultimately broken down using low-energy cellular processes, taking advantage of existing bioreactors and fermenters. By taking inspiration from nature and reimagining what life can become, we have the opportunity to build the sustainable industries of the future. Thank you.